I just watched that, like 15 minutes before I got in here, I just watched that Issa Rae rap shit pilot. She put out two episodes. I only watched the first one. I'm gonna watch the second one after.
You love Issa Rae. Issa Rae's your fave.
Love Insecure. That's one of my favorite shows ever. Love Awkward Black Girl. I love Little. You ever see Little?
No.
I love Little. I love Issa. So I was excited for it. And it's cool, man. Like, it's real interesting the way that it's like formatted. Like, it's half of it is kind of is shot to where it's like it like takes place on like the characters' phones. And so like characters will go on Instagram Live and it'll be formatted like that, or like they'll FaceTime and it'll be formatted like that, or like they'll be recording, like, you know what I mean? And like they do a lot of like really cool shit in just the first episode, like with the camera.
Hell yeah.
And like two people start recording at once at one point, and then it's just like this split screen thing, and it's like the same thing happening, but it's cool. I ain't gonna lie, it was dope.
Hell yeah. So glowing rec for the first episode of Rap Shit.
Glowing rec for Rap Shit episode one.
Hell yeah.
For sure.
I've been like pseudo following that show because I discovered through Twitter one of the co-stars, one of the leading ladies, Aida Osman. I discovered her on Twitter because A, she's very funny. B, she ended up getting a job writing for Big Mouth. Nice. And three, I said A, B, and three. That's okay. The thing that kind of blew her up on Twitter is that she recorded herself like rapping this rap about pegging, and it's so funny. It is so fucking funny that it was like this thing that I was showing all my friends for a minute. I was like, you got to watch the pegging rap. It's fucking great. So look up Aida's pegging rap. It's very funny. I'm excited to check out Rap Shit. It looks cool.
Yeah, it's definitely cool. I'm excited to watch that second one. And I wonder how long the season is going to be, because Insecure season is usually ranged for anywhere from like 8 to 10.
Right. I bet it'd be comparable. This is an HBO Max show, not an HBO show, right?
That's true, too.
Right.
That is
so,
true.
Yeah, I don't know. It's hard to say. They kind of can kind of vary. It can kind of vary on both networks, but I don't know. It's cool that they can do both now, too. Like, I don't know. I guess I don't really know what the difference would be, but it falls under a different budget or something. But
like, did you watch Euphoria?
I watched the first season of Euphoria and the first special. I didn't watch the second special or season two yet.
Do you remember if Euphoria came out at a specific time or if it just came out at midnight?
I think it was a specific time. Cool. I think it, because I think that's what happens.
That's an HBO show,
HBO.
Right?
Yes, you're right.
Well, it's okay, so here's the thing, though, is that the Rap Shit pilot didn't come out till 9 o'clock.
Interesting.
And it is HBO Max, though. Like, that's what the logo says and shit like that. But it didn't come out till 9 o'clock.
That's really interesting. You know, I guess some other HBO Max stuff, like currently Tuca and Birdie, obviously it's a little different because it's airing on television first on Adult Swim. So they want that to happen first. And then it feels like 9 hours later on, it hits HBO Max. Like the next morning, it drops on HBO Max.
Yeah, I'm about to say, I don't even know what time they come out because by the time I wake up, it's there.
I definitely woke up last week pretty early. I was like, I woke up and couldn't fall back asleep at like 5 a.m. And I was like, oh, I wonder if the new Tuca and Birdie hit HBO Max yet. And I looked and it was not there yet. So I think that's 5 a.m. like Pacific time. So I think it hits like 7 a.m. ish or something like that on HBO Max. So they gotta have specific times for certain reasons. Maybe I don't know. So it came out today, Friday. Is it Friday releases for everyone?
I think so.
Interesting. Because Thursday. Jesus. It feels like a Friday to me because I'm leaving town tomorrow. So like I'm like, this is my last day of the week.
I feel that.
Yeah, I feel like on Sunday they always do a certain time because then people like get home and they watch it's like their Sunday evening ritual is to watch the new HBO shit, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't know. Cool. I'm gonna check out Rap Shit.
I think it looks cool. Good vibes. actually, while I'm doing live action recs, this other show that I watch, it's not on HBO though, it's on Showtime. Just like how I said Insecure is one of my favorite shows ever, this is also one of my favorite shows ever. It's called Flatbush Misdemeanors.
Oh, you talked about this.
I fucking love that show. It is like some of the best shit I've ever seen. I've seen the first season like 4 times. The main character, and like he, because he's like a painter, and like anybody, dude, I know people watch these like while drawing. I swear, if you're an artist, if you watch that show, you'll feel Kevin, because like he like goes through a lot of weird shit with like commissions, and you know what I mean? It's like stuff that like you normally don't hear people talk about, in shows, especially like with like black characters in that specific kind of area and all that shit. Like, but it's like really cool and hilarious the way the plot unfolds. Like, everybody's hilarious, everybody's great. Hassan Johnson's in it from The Wire.
It's good. That's shit. On Showtime.
Yeah, Showtime.
Flatbush,
for all five people title. That have Showtime.
It's a good title. Flatbush.
Flatbush Misdemeanors. Yeah, man. I think it.
So season 2's airing.
Yeah, and I think, I don't know, man. I think that's what Blake told me, is that like you get Showtime with Spotify, some weird shit like that. So
I got Spotify.
You might have Showtime.
Do I have Showtime?
I think you might have Showtime.
Yo,
I think you might have Showtime. I don't know. You tested out.
Man, that was one of the few things I don't have, but you're telling me I do.
I think you do, bro. You might. Wow. You just might. I don't know.
Man, there's so many streaming services, I don't even know I have them. That's fucked up.
Sick shit.
Before we get into this episode, I think this is a good time, since we are doing South Park season 1. We should plug the Patreon, because we are about to start a new miniseries on the other projects of Matt Stone and Trey Parker. We're going to be doing 5 episodes, I believe, 4 of which are truly their projects, 1 of which they're just in. You probably know which one that is. So we'll be doing Cannibal the Musical, the film they made in college. Then we'll be doing Orgasmo, the film they made that didn't get to go to theaters because it got rated NC-17 and they got screwed. And then... we're going to do Basketball, the film they were in but did not write. But also, like, a lot of the good comedy in that movie, I think, stems from them improvising and being funny people. Then we're going to take a little left turn into a world called That's My Bush, an 8-episode sitcom parody from 2001, in which the President of the United States gets stuck in the most stereotypical sitcom situations you've ever heard of. I can't fucking wait to talk about That's My Bush.
That's my
it's
going to
be fucking great. And then, of course, we will talk about Team America, World Police, a great film. I'm very excited. I'm very excited to talk about most of those. But especially Team America is so fun. And then I think probably at some point, if we can swing it, I want to talk about Book of Mormon, but we got to get everyone out to it. So I know it's coming. I know it's coming to LA in December. That'll be the 3rd time I see it if I go see it then. I don't know if it's going to Philly, Tariq, but maybe we'll use some of this. Maybe we'll use some of this Patreon money to send you to New York. Get you a Broadway. We're going to send you all the way to New York City. we're going to get you a ticket for Broadway. And it's going to be great. but I really want to talk about Book of Mormon. That would be really fun to talk about. I love Book of Mormon. The music. Have you listened to the music at all, Tariq?
No.
Don't listen to it, because we're going to send you to New York so you can hear it. It's genuinely so catchy, so funny, so good. It's like literally almost every song in that soundtrack is a banger. It's incredible.
Word.
So that's the plan. That won't come till later if we do Book of Mormon, though. This will be a 5 episode, which ends up being like 2.5 months worth of Patreon content. We'll be doing Matt Stone and Trey Parker's extracurriculars. It's going to be great. We've already covered the South Park movie. Go check out that episode from last year.
Mm-hmm. Man,
God, I love that movie.
That episode's rough.
Oh yeah, because you were you too high or something?
I was inebriated.
I gotta re-listen to it. I don't came to work like this. Oh no.
Oh man, maybe we'll do that episode again. Maybe we'll redo it. Maybe we'll do take two.
Yeah, the remix. Yeah, for sure. We gotta do the remix.
Cool. But yeah, check out the Patreon. It's $5 a month. We have like 17 episodes. We just did the two Fritz the Cats movies, and we're gonna be doing these other Matt Stone and Trey Parker joints after this.
That second one is some butt ass though, man.
Yeah, but I found it's not a good movie, but I found myself like thinking back on it fondly because it's such a trip. Like I don't know when the next time I would watch it again is, but like it's I don't know. There's some cool sequences in it. The first one's obviously a lot better because it's cool sequences plus has something to say.
Right.
It's not great.
It's kind of funny too. Like
it's true. So check those out. Lots and lots of bonus episodes there. You can check out the video, or you get a whole feed of extra bonus episodes if you sign up there. It goes right into your app. It's pretty cool. And with that, let's cue the theme song and start talking about South Park.
Word.
Season one.
I've been watching them for years. It's always been something that fit with all the animated characters that's doing their own bits. With a fry who's in the future and a family guy that sucks. With a father from a hill, a burger family runs a mug. The show of spies is the same guy, except he totally say f. End of verse.
Let's watch cartoons that burn.
Yeah, that's bananas.
That's rough.
What the f*** is up, everybody? Welcome to Cartoons That Curse, the podcast about cartoons that say swear words, aka adult animated series. Some of your favorites and ours, like The Simpsons, Family Guy, King of the Hill, Futurama, and today, South Park, Season 1. Perhaps the cursiest of all cartoons. It's up there, that's for sure. At least at the time, it was the cursiest.
Yeah, cartoons that curse the most.
Yes, correct. I thought cursiest was the word. It's not a word.
It's also a good word. Good word for it.
It's a word now. Patented cartoons that curse word. Cursiest. We're gonna get some merch that says cursiest, and it's gonna say it in cursive.
Nice. I like that. I like it.
Hell yeah! I am Johnny. I'm your co-host. I'm joined by my other co-host, Tariq. How are you, Tariq?
Here to talk about South Park, man. It's first season of South Park. I like did a weird thing just now where I went like this because I was trying to. I got paranoid because I can't see the little. I could kind of see it, but like my little wave files on the thing.
Oh yeah, you know, yeah. I hear you. I see them. I think we're fine. Okay. I think we're in good shape here. If we blow it, then Mikey will get real mad at us. But you know. We'll figure it out. I think we're good. I think we're in good shape here.
And Mikey just like types, "What the fuck?" in the group chat. And he gets like the slam effect. He just fucking like hits your phone.
Oh, man. So today we're here to talk about season one of South Park, as we've said a couple times here, created by Matt Stone and Trey Parker. South Park. So Matt, I believe Matt Stone and Trey Parker met at college. And in 1992, they made an animated short called Jesus versus Frosty, or The Spirit of Christmas is the other, and Jesus versus Santa. There's a few things going on here. So this was an animated short they made. I don't know. Did they make it in college? Oh, you know what? It's two stop motions. It's Jesus versus Frosty, right. Jesus versus Santa. There's two.
Because, the first one is like super primitive. The second one is closer to the show, but the first one is way like closer. They like drew the eyes on the cart on the
right
instruction paper.
So yes, Jesus vs. Frosty they made together at the University of Colorado where they went to school, and then they made Jesus vs. Santa in 1995, and I believe Jesus vs. Santa is the one that they would like they put on a bunch of VHSs and just passed around. It was like a viral tape before
I could 1000% be wrong, but I think that happened with the first one, and then
Second,
and I think the second one was the one that they like made for somebody. Like I remember.
Oh, interesting.
A
so they
story
saw
about,
the first one. They saw the first one, and then the second one, they're like, "Oh, you should do this right. again."
I think that's what it is. Yeah.
Yeah, you're right. Oh, you're right. You're right. So, cool. So they created it as a Christmas card, basically. The first one, Jesus vs. Frosty, mm-hmm. passed it around.
And then people were lying and getting jobs saying that they did it.
That they did it, which is insane. Right. My aunt says that she had a copy of it, like back in the day. Like she got a copy of it. Yeah, isn't that crazy?
Yeah, that's nice.
And so that was like genuinely, you know, before the internet, before things can go viral, literal passing around a VHS, like a Christmas card VHS, which is very funny and a cool thing to do. And so 3 years later, they get commissioned to do the Spirit of Christmas, or the I guess it's called the Spirit of Christmas, Jesus versus Santa. Mm-hmm. And then that did so well that they got to make South Park. That was received so well. And even in the intro to season one, you can see on the big screen is like a scene from Jesus vs. Santa.
Yep.
So there's little references to it there.
There's two, which you don't, I guess you kind of see it in the widescreen version, but like there's a different cut. There's a different shot where like there's like just a TV on the ground in the corner. And then there's like mm-hmm. footage from that shit playing too.
Oh, shit. I don't think I noticed that. Wild. Pretty cool way to get your start. All things considered, that mm-hmm. is pretty wild. So South Park comes out on August 13th, 1997. And the pilot, which they made after Jesus versus Santa, was once again all made by hand. Mm-hmm. Right? Yeah, the pilot is all made by hand. It's all construction paper, stop motion, which is why it's the only episode. They actually, years later, went back because they had all of the files that they used to make every episode of South Park, and we're able to go back and remaster it all in HD. So when you watch South Park, you can watch from the very beginning, everything in HD except for the pilot is
which
still in standard def.
Fucking weird.
It
this
is
was
weird.
Weird.
You know what? I'm used to watching the show in HD. Like I download all the HD files for my South Park videos, but I found myself this time for this being like, I wish I had the DVDs so I could watch the standard def versions.
Nah, that's how I felt. I was like, yeah. This is too, like, the way I just, because I don't know. My brain tells me it's supposed to be old, and then it doesn't right. look old at all.
and I think this season in particular, you feel that a lot when you're watching these HD versions, because, like, even the following season, and it's like, it's all amped up a little bit from there, even in standard def. So it's like starts to feel less and less like, oh, this is old South Park. But like, since this is literally them working out the kinks of the show, you're kind of like, wow, why is this in high def? What? Mm-hmm. This doesn't make sense. But it is still kind of crazy and cool that they kept all of that shit. And were, because the show is so primitive, we're able to then actually remaster the whole thing in high def. In a way that other shows cannot, like there are HD remasters of a lot of standard def cartoons, but not to this degree, not when they widescreen it.
I must say that's because they just kind of zoom in and crop, you know what I mean?
Well, yeah, but there's also like, so I would say Samurai Jack or like Avatar The Last Airbender. They did nice HD upscale like re-exports without turning them into widescreen, so like they don't go to widescreen, but they do look a lot better than they did on the DVDs. So like I have an Avatar Blu-ray, it looks like way better than the DVDs I have.
You know what other show is like that?
Which one?
You remember Mucha Lucha?
Yes, I never really watched it, but I know it.
It was produced in Flash, which you already kind of working in like widescreen and HD. So like it was just kind of produced that way. So, and now that's just the standard. So like that's another show too, where if you watch it, even though it was made in like 03, like it's going to be in fucking widescreen the whole time. Except I don't know if there's HD cuts to that movie they did, but everything else.
Right. Is that a good show? Should I watch that?
I don't know. That was like 10 Oh, man, maybe even more than 10 years.
Have you ever made a video on it?
Huh?
You ever made a video on it?
Oh, shit, no. I think somebody added me asking me to do it not too long ago because I think it turns 20 this year.
Oh, no shit. Wow.
But I already talked about one thing that turned 20 this year, and I'm talking about another thing that turns 20 this year in December. So many 20s. I feel like y'all not going to be mad that y'all missing out on the Mucha Lucha video when you find out what the thing I'm doing in December is. So,
you know what else? You know what turns 25 this year?
What's that?
South Park.
Shit. Fuck. Yeah, of course, because I do.
Right. I have too much to do this week and tonight. Otherwise, like if we weren't recording this right now, I would be going down to Hollywood to the South Park 25th anniversary pop-up that is happening in like 17 minutes.
Oh,
it opens. Yeah, it's all good. It's all good. I also tried to go to the concert that they're doing at Red Rocks, the 25th anniversary concert. Couldn't get tickets, which is a bummer. I would have really liked to go. It's Primus and Ween, and then all the songs from South Park. Sounds fucking great. Sounds great. So this season was kind of it's a massive success of a season. They did an initial run of 6 episodes. Because it was successful, they did an additional 7. And the show was like a massive word of mouth success. Like, I just like people realized that there was partially because it's so like it was so controversial at the time. It's these little kids swearing and stuff. And so because of that, there was like a lot of buzz about the show. And the show rose from its initial episode, its pilot, under 1 million viewers, 0.98 million viewers in the U.S. And by the finale, it was up to 6.4 million. That is huge. Huge.
Especially for Comedy Central.
Exactly. And it is the reason that South Park is still on. Because like now they probably get 1.5 to 2. But the show is just like a juggernaut. It's the only thing comparable is The Simpsons, where it just feels like too big for someone to say, I'm going to cancel you. You know, I don't know when that will ever happen. But pretty cool success. That being said, it is so funny to watch this season now, having seen so many seasons of the show, and be like, this was the controversial thing this season.
Yeah, I really didn't want to feel that way, but when I was like, man, this is like so tame.
This is so tame. But like at the time, there was nothing like it. It's literally the opening scene is kids being like calling each other dildos, right? And like it's like there was not anything like that on TV in the 90s for sure. I mean, the first episode is called Cartman Gets an Anal Probe.
Yeah,
like that is the pilot episode, and so like you know by now. Pretty tame. But like this episode features Cartman with a giant satellite dish sticking out of his ass. That's for 1997, unheard of. Absolutely unheard of.
Word, yeah.
And it's really interesting to watch. I did think a lot about, even though thinking this season was tame, I was thinking about how insane of a premise for a pilot this is. They're just like, oh, look at it's our show about these kids who go to elementary school and like the shenanigans they get up to. And oh, it's an alien abduction story. One character has a giant probe in his ass and it's about them like having to get this kid's brother back from the aliens.
Yeah.
Pretty weird premise for a pilot.
I guess I never thought about that. It's like, it's kind of one of those things where like this pilot, just like every other show's pilot that we talked about, like it's just, except King of the Hill, I guess. But like it's just kind of burned into my brain, you know what I mean? Like, I just, the whole first scene I knew by heart, like you know what I mean? Right. Like, so I guess I never think of the absurdity that this is how they decided to start the cartoon. I guess I never really thought about that.
I know, I didn't think about it till today. Like, this was just like, oh yeah, the first episode, Carmen gets an anal probe. Like, that's in my brain. That's just always been in my brain. And then watching it, being like, this was the first thing they did,
right? Yeah.
And I was like, that is wild.
Dude, you know what, I meant to fucking text you this earlier. I would be remiss if I don't bring this up. You ever see when Arthur parodied this episode?
What? Those words don't compute in my brain at all.
They don't do the anal probe thing, but they do have Buster get abducted by aliens, and it all
Buster
happens.
Buster gets an anal probe.
Buster doesn't get an anal probe, but it all happens in the South Park art style, and
I have to fucking watch that. We got to do like a Patreon episode about that or something like that. That sounds insane.
I remember when I saw it as a kid, I was like, what the fuck? They're like mimicking. That whole episode of Arthur actually is just kind of TV parodies because they do Beavis too.
Right. Oh, really?
Yeah. Oh, man, you would actually really love that whole episode.
I would. Sounds fucking cool. Like a good time. All right, I'm gonna check that out. I'm gonna check that out for sure. I found myself really charmed by how crude the pilot is. It's just like, I don't know, you can just feel that it's just two dudes making it themselves. But there are also some like relatively ambitious shots they had to stop motion do. Like I kept looking at the shot of Cartman getting dragged down the like hallway, and there's a shot of him like on the anal probe table, and there's all the alien hands come out, and like I don't know, there's stuff I was like, this is very well storyboarded, and
especially with like the constraints that they have having to make it exactly. All with construction paper, like actual construction paper and shit.
Exactly, because like the reason you do it in construction paper like that is so you can keep reusing assets for everything, right? Like you make the little guys, but like they do the shots like Cartman on the table, and that's like a diagonal angle, like that's a whole new. You got to cut out a whole new Cartman to do that shot. I have a feeling that like, I mean, I thought about like, oh, what would I do if I were making this? And the answer is that I would do the whole thing first, and then probably go in and be like, okay, what can we like improve framing wise, blocking wise? What can we go in when we have time? Once we have the whole thing done, what can we go in and improve visually, like in the middle here? But it was cool. It was cool to think about it from the production perspective, which is something that I've rarely done for this pilot.
It's cool. It's cool to look at. I used to like to watch this one as a kid all the time because I really liked how it looked. Just the fact that it actually is construction paper, and we were talking about just like how HD the rest of the season looks, but the fact that they like upscaled this, it looks so fucking cool because it's still shot on film, so it's like upscale shot on film. It looks fucking cool. I ain't gonna lie.
I want to figure out how we can watch the standard def ones if we keep going forward. I'm gonna reach out to some people, right now. but I still think it's really cool that these are upscaled, but like this one was more charming than the rest of this season. Did you notice that in which episode is it? It's in Volcano. Do you notice that in Volcano, I'm just gonna jump ahead to that, there's a scene that is them showing the old educational film of what to do when a volcano erupts, duck and cover. They just used the standard def thing. It goes back to black bars, and they just kept the standard def one to make it look old. And I was like, oh, that's pretty smart. This would have looked weird if it were in high def. And I thought that was very, very smart of them. So I don't know. It's weird. I always download the high def ones, especially for my South Park videos, but I kind of want copies of all the other ones too.
No, I
want them.
I will say, it was a stroke of genius to them to think like, maybe we could just do this with computers. Cause I don't think my brain would have worked that way, especially not back then. I think I would have just kept going exactly like how they were.
I think
going.
They probably knew based on how long it took that like, we can't do a whole season of television like this.
But it's just like, okay, because I could be wrong, but I feel like I remember them saying that it took like 3 or 4 months and they were like, man, what the fuck? Like, I wouldn't want to do this. Cartoons normally take between 9 months and a year. Like, so it's like, either way, y'all were ahead of the curve. Like, you know what I mean?
That's true. But it's like so labor intensive, right? Like,
for sure. For sure. Yeah, absolutely.
And I guess that probably would have gone faster if they have a team. Like, because the first one was just them.
That's what I thought. It's just like, you get a group, you get a group of people, and then you just kind of go like, all right, y'all get the scene, we get this scene, y'all get this scene, and then you just kind of like handle it. Yeah. And then like you could get it done. Like I ain't gonna say like lightning speed and no shit like that, but it could get done. They but I do think I think it was smart to go computer regardless. You know?
Yeah, clearly, especially when you look at the fact that this is one of the only shows ever that's been able to like upscale and widescreen for the whole show.
Mm-hmm.
They're kind of known for not doing things easy. When they talked a lot about how much of a nightmare making Team America was with the marionettes. And they're like, we thought this would be fun and cool and easy, and it was the biggest nightmare we've ever experienced.
Right.
Man,
they'll do anything but draw. They'll do it all.
It's true. They'll win 9 Tonys.
Yeah, anything but do a drawing, man. I respect it.
I do too. So it's funny how many things they establish pretty immediately. Like kick the baby is one of the first things.
Sure. Yeah.
Chef is the first adult we meet. I was in general. So it was so interesting to look at the season and see what characters were most prominent, especially adults. Like obviously the kids are prominent. They feel more like kids in this. They're ignorant kids. Like they're kids who don't know all this shit. And so part of it is them learning things and learning them wrong and assuming things wrong about like the world. Like a lot of the humor stems from them being kids and not getting things. And that obviously is not at all how the show works now. And even probably 6 seasons later or even earlier, like the kids are basically adults at this point.
It went from like Rugrats to Charlie Brown. Like, you know how like Rugrats is kind of like the adults will say something and the kids will be like, what do they mean by that? And they'll just like completely misinterpret it. But in Charlie Brown, like they talking about like mortgages and like everybody's having like existential crises and shit like that. Right. Like those are the conversations that those kids are having.
True. And I kind of like the idea that that's how it goes, because it's like they're these kids who are like trapped in a sitcom. They're trapped in a show. So like if things just reset and they don't really age, they go from 3rd to 4th grade and that's it. And they've still gone through all of these life experiences over 25 years. Like, oh yeah, if these kids had gone through all of this shit, they wouldn't be acting like kids anymore.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
And I still like it. There are still episodes in the modern South Park where they do act like kids. And I love that. But, you know, like you can only do the kids don't understand things about the world so many times before you're like, well, they've done this already. You know?
Yeah, there was a lot about this season I was watching. I was like, I guess they got bored of that, and I respect that they got bored of a lot of this shit. Like Stan throwing up on Wendy, shit is over.
I know. Like that was they got rid of that. I mean, even killing Kenny, they haven't done that. They kill Kenny still when it's impactful, which I love. I love that like it's still a thing that they can kill Kenny, but it always like means something to the story it's in. And I like how the show's evolved in that way, because it was just a gag where they're like, well, what if we killed one of the kids every time? And then
it's like Kyle and Stan back to back both have like that catchphrase that I feel like they would make fun of now. Like they would never do some shit like that now.
Well, they were already making fun of it in this season. There's one where when Kyle kills Kenny because he's a zombie and he goes, oh my God, I killed Kenny. You bastard. Like it's like they're already making fun of their own shit that they've done only 13 times in this season, which is great. I mean, like, it's so interesting to see how this show evolved because, you know, like they have these ideas for the first 13 episodes of the show and they're like, wow, this is getting a little tired. Well, we got to change this out. We got to do something else here. But let's think about some of the main adult characters in this season. You got Jimbo and Ned are like big in this season. Barb Brady. They've even done episodes before where they acknowledge that they got rid of Barb Brady because they have the new detective who's in it all the time.
I guess I never noticed.
Yeah, because they went from like the inept idiot cop to like the over the top stereotypical like grizzled cop, like freeze, you know.
He's so funny.
He's the best. The mayor is a huge part of this season, and like it's all about her being kind of an asshole. She's kind of this like this fame hungry, like status hungry asshole, and it's really interesting.
Kind of dumb.
Yeah,
that's part
of it. She is kind of dumb. She does that thing where she thinks she doesn't realize they're live, so she's like pretending to cry, and then she's like, "Wait, can we do this again?"
I thought you were gonna bring up the where he says the geologist is here to see you, and she thinks Buddy's saying the gynecologist, and then when he corrects her, she's like, "Shut the fuck up! Like, you don't correct me, you're fired."
Right, and. And then she immediately tries to call him back. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Who else is a chef? Obviously, chef's like the most prominent adult,
which is just like there's more South Park without Chef than there is with Chef.
So much more.
Yeah.
It's been like 15 seasons without him.
Fucking wild.
Mr. Garrison, obviously, very different. Mr. Garrison's very different this season.
Seeing old Garrison is just crazy. That's just crazy vibes.
There's there's hints of like him being kind of an asshole, and like there's hints of what he would become, but not much. Like he's very different. Mm-hmm. What else? Mephisto, the mad scientist doctor. He's in this season a lot.
Oh right,
yeah.
Right.
They're like all of these characters. Jesus, like all of these characters, mm-hmm. they like had as the rounding out of the cast of the show outside of the kids, and almost all of them went away after a few seasons. Like they're still around, but like they started bringing in so many other adult characters and who took over.
So many people get like amplified roles and like, you know, the boys stay, but like, yeah, it just kind of evolves around them to the point where like, it's weird to see South Park without certain characters because of like what we know it now. Like there's no Butters like whatsoever.
I think he's in a shot of the pilot, or it's at least a kid who looks like him.
Like maybe like in the background or something like that.
Right.
His voice comes out of Clyde in one of these episodes. I wrote it down.
It's so weird.
Yeah.
It's so weird to see that. Also like, but Butters kind of becomes the kid they rip on, but for these first couple seasons, it's Pip. Pip is like,
for
like,
sure, Pip is, man. Oh, fucking Pip. I forgot Pip. Yeah, man.
Yeah. He was a huge part of this shit. He was just the kid everyone hated. Even to the point where in the episode Damien, that's like a big plot point, is like they accept Damien because he's like, oh, I'll do what you guys do and I'll shit on Pip. And that was just like, there was like a dynamic. It was like almost a fundamental dynamic of the show in this first season. And eventually they kill Pip, right? Don't they kill him?
I think, I think they do kill Pip. I've heard them say that they didn't, he was like, oh, we don't even like this scene. Like, I don't even know why we made him, for real. And then there's that, like, I haven't seen it. I've only seen it once, but I fucking hated it as a kid. That whole episode that's just Pip. And, I don't know. I think, did they go? Like,
what
they
go
like
episode?
This hometown and shit.
The Pip episode. And then the funny
thing
is,
I think it's
called
Pip.
Yeah, you might be right. It's just called Pip. But is this which episode? What season is it? Season 4. This is season 4.
Fucking hate that one, dude. I as a kid, I did. I haven't seen it since the first time I saw it.
Yeah, it's a weird episode. And then it's also funny because they kind of replace Pip's role with Butters. And then Butters gets his very own episode. But like, imagine the show without Butters. Butters is like fundamental. Butters is
for
fundamental.
Sure. Yeah.
Did you notice that in this season, Token's in the whole thing? They don't say his name.
He never talks once.
He
has the fucking T on his shirt.
I wrote that down. He has the T.
The entire fucking time.
He has the T. They did that. They knew that was part of it. That was who he was, even though they didn't use him. They put the T on his damn shirt.
It's fucking nuts. There's crazy. A shot in one of these where he's white, and it was. It is the weird. Oh, what episode is, he's in like a crowd and they cut back to him multiple times and it's just like it's the same hair, it's the same shirt, it's just a white, it's just a white face and white hands.
It's so funny.
Yeah.
Wow, bizarre. It's so interesting. It was just such an interesting rewatch, especially watching. I've watched episodes from this season to do research or videos, but I haven't sat down and watched the whole first season in so long. And it is such a trip, such a trip to watch through. I really respect how like bonkers of a first season it is, even though I think you and I both are kind of on the same page. We were texting about it. It's a little, it's like a little slow. It's a little boring, especially compared to later South Park. Like it's kind of a mid season, even though at the time it was this big, crazy, controversial thing.
Right.
And I respect a lot about this season, and I respect, obviously it's like their first time making stuff, you know, on this professional level, making a show. So they're working out the kinks too. They're figuring out what works and what doesn't work. And obviously they did very well figuring that stuff out as the show went on. But it was bizarre to watch through and be like, I like this premise. It's a little, this episode's a little boring though, you know?
Right. Yeah. Yeah, I went through that with like so many. There's only three of these that like I came out and I was like, I liked this one. Mm. Like, but the rest, it was like, I didn't come out of them being like, I hate this. Like,
right.
But like, I was just the as bored as you could be for a lot of these. Again, though, it is interesting to look at through the lens of just like knowing what the show became and like knowing the characters and shit like that. Like that's really what like got me through it, was just kind of looking at it through those lenses.
Right.
But, like, I don't know. A lot of the shit they were doing, I wasn't gravitating towards it.
I hear you. Well, let's keep rolling through this pilot and talk about what we did and didn't like about it. And then we'll go through them. But like, it's like there's so much to talk about in terms of what this show, how this show is so different. It's just a whole different show at this point. What's another teacher who they got rid of is Miss Crabtree, the bus driver. They eventually got rid of her.
Yeah. I was thinking that too.
I was admiring how great, especially for in the pilot, how great of a character design she is to make with construction paper, like her teeth and like the bird in her hair. Like, I don't know. She's just like so expressive for this show in particular, where you got your characters whose all faces look the same. She is so expressive. I really appreciated that. They kind of do a lot of fun, like poking fun at the educational system. Like there's a lot of episodes in this season that I was like, oh man, if they made this commentary now, people would be like, wow, South Park's gone woke, which is really funny. In the pilot, Garrison's lesson about Christopher Columbus is just like he came and he helped all of the Native Americans. Like he's just it's like they're clearly making fun of the way the U.S. education system coddled like the kids in regards to the discovery of America and all that shit. It's funny to hear it because they don't draw attention to it in this one. It's just in the background. It's like, but that's clearly them making fun of our school systems.
Right.
I was laughing because the anal probe design, the first one that comes out of Cartman's ass, not the satellite dish, but the little probe, they kept that design and use it in Stick of Truth. It's a big part of Stick of Truth, which I think we should somehow cover on the podcast, whether that's on Patreon or on the main feed. We both got to play those games and sit down and talk about them. You got them. That's right. We got to play them, dude. I played through them a few times. Oh, I played through the first one a few times. I've actually never beaten the second one because I'm really bad at the combat in it. I'm just bad at the grid-based combat. I'm not good at it. I need to figure out how to make my character. I need to figure out how to build my character the right way for that shit.
I don't know if I'm going to be much. I'm good at maybe 5 video games.
It's not a hard game. The first one isn't, at least. Mm-hmm. It's pretty standard. Like you just have to, it's an RPG turn-based and you have to press the buttons at the right time in your combat in order to maximize your damage and minimize the damage that you take. It's really fun. I love Stick of Truth. I think it's kind of a perfect game. It's so much fun. There are things in this pilot that I was like, this is out of character. Like Cartman being like, now the kids think I'm fat, so I don't want to eat the powdered donut surprise. Cartman turning down the powdered donut surprise. I don't think that's the Cartman I know.
I feel that. There's a really weird line in the first scene. Stan says, "Whoa, Cartman, looks like you didn't get much sleep last night." And I was like, "What the fuck?" it was just like, "Why is he talking like that?"
Right. Yeah, there are weird things like that in this. Let's see. I like the joke when they show the crop circle and it's Cartman, and Cartman goes, "Hey, that kind of looks like Tom Selleck." that got a good laugh out of me. I like when Cartman's just refusing to even entertain the idea that he's been anal probed, and he's like literally sitting there in the field, and he goes, "Nah, you guys are just making it up." And they're like, "Cartman, there's an 80-foot satellite dish sticking out of your ass right now. Like, we're not making it up." Even the alien ship design is the same one they use in Stick of Truth. They updated, obviously, because it's just cardboard or it's just construction paper in this, but same design for the spaceship, which is really funny.
Nice.
There's something that I like the end of this episode where the aliens are like, cows are the most intelligent and wise creatures. And they like give the cows the technology or whatever. I wish they would bring back the alien relation to the cows somehow. That feels like a thing that they could come back to the pile, come back on. And it's so
maybe
weird.
Do it
out
in
there.
The series finale.
Yeah, they got it. You know. Cows take over the world or something. Man, how do you feel about this pilot?
I don't know. Like once you kind of get past like how cool it looks, it is another one of those that like after a while I just kind of got a little bored.
Right.
But you know, see, because I don't want to say that I don't like it, because I think that those are the right words.
There's not really any episodes this season I don't like, but there's also not that many that I like love. It's kind of like it feels kind of like King of the Hill, which we talked about recently. Except I think I generally like King of the Hill season one more than this. But
I do.
But still similar vibes where I'm like, oh, this is good. But compared to what I know and love of South Park, this is mid. Like this is like, you know. Yeah, I like respect it, but don't love it.
It kind of felt, and that's me being unfair to it, but I kind of was like, a lot of the time I found myself like watching it, waiting for the South Park shit to happen.
Right.
You know what I mean? But like, it never does. And that's because like, all that, it doesn't turn into what I know it to be until way later.
Right. I think the like biting commentary is missing from this season, whereas the wacky hijinks are here, but they're just not like, they're not as, I don't know, they don't feel, sorry, my animals are fighting each other. The premises are so wild. Like I feel like a lot of these premises, you can see how South Park evolved from them, but I don't feel like the dialogue or jokes are as like strong as what we would come to find later, you know. I mean, you know, it's mostly a little basic, but like, I don't know, like Mr. Hankey is wild. Like Damien is a crazy premise.
When we get to Mr. Hankey, bro, that shit was gross.
Dude, I love, I know what you're talking about, but it makes me laugh every time. It makes me laugh every time. We'll get there though. Yeah, it's interesting. Like, I think this is a great pilot for like them making how they made it.
Sure.
Clearly, I don't know. Like I really respect what they did here. But it is crazy to look at this because it's barely resembles how, you know, what South Park would become to be remembered.
Absolutely.
As. Okay, so we're going to move on to episode two. So this is, if you watched on HBO Max, they actually have two episodes out of order. Weight Gain 4000 was the second episode that aired, and Volcano was the third. But for some reason on HBO Max, they're flipped. They were produced in the right, like in it was Weight Gain and then Volcano. And you can even tell, like, Cartman's voice sounds like the pilot Cartman. And then in Volcano, it gets a little closer to what we know now. Still not all the way there, but closer. So we're going to talk about Weight Gain 3000, which is episode 102. And this is like another one where I'm like, oh man, Cartman is so dumb early on. Like, Cartman, he's still kind of evil in this season, but like in an ignorant way.
I don't even think I would go evil. I just think he just kind of gets mad because he's spoiled. Well, I think he's just spoiled.
I guess the one thing I'm thinking about evil wise is when he's like watching the Hitler tape and he's just like, oh, that could be me. That's the one though where I'm like, okay, well, those are the seeds of evil Cartman there.
Super fair.
But yeah, you're right. He is kind of a mad asshole in this, but like, he doesn't know what a rainbow is at the beginning of this episode. It's bizarre. It's a bizarre thing to have Cartman not know. I think it's very funny that the first celebrity they bring in is Kathy Lee Gifford. It's very funny to me. Very random. There are some funny bits here. Like, I like when they flash back to Garrison's, like, his issues with Kathy Lee, and it's just the same old Garrison face on a kid body. That's pretty funny. And this is kind of where there's a little bit of seeds of like the shitty Garrison that we would see later. Like, he's like, I want to kill Kathy Gifford because he's jealous that she beat him in a, what is it, like a puppet competition? Is that what it was?
Like, ventriloquist? Some shit like that.
So like, they have little seeds of them figuring out Garrison a bit, but it's still very different, and he's doing things through Mr. Hat a lot. Mr. Hat character that they ditched eventually, although he's back, we haven't seen him back yet. I mean, we saw him come back in Vaccination Special, but they haven't really used him.
But then they just kind of laid off Garrison, and we ain't seen him ever since. I don't know.
Yeah, he's just kind of been around. And they used to do other stuff with Cartman, like where you'd screech, where you'd be like, man, like, you know, like screaming mom.
Which I forgot about, but it is pretty funny.
Right. I forgot about too. It's funny. There's like a lot of things. Like, early Cartman has a lot of other mannerisms that like we kind of lose later on, which is fine. Because like, I mean, I think there's a lot of stuff. There's a lot of stuff in general that they did early on. Like, this is pretty fucked up right here, which I think is actually a funny catchphrase. I like that catchphrase. Yeah.
There's so many of this fucking respect my authority and all that shit. Like,
But that's not even in the season, is it? That comes in season two.
I think that's season two. Yeah. But he also, like, you were talking about just like his like different speech patterns. Like, he'll do, like, instead of saying right here, he'll say like right here and shit like that. And shit, you know,
he still kind of does the hya now, but they do it a little differently. Like, he doesn't say like right hya, he'll just be like like, I feel like there was a episode recently where they were like making a plan. He goes, you go hya, and you go hya. I love Cartman in the beefcake shirt. I think that's really funny. the pink beefcake shirt. Yeah, one of my notes was Cartman's voice sounds like it regressed from the last episode. That's because this was supposed to be the second episode. I didn't realize it till after I watched through him. this is a good episode showcasing how dumb Barb Brady is. Like, Barb Brady is just the completely, absolutely inept police officer. There's the part where Garrison's gonna kill Kathy Lee, and he's just like got a gun in his hand, and he's like, where's gonna be the best view of the Kathy Lee parade? He's holding the gun, and Vibrate's the old book repository, which is a reference to the actual assassination of John F. Kennedy. He was shot from a book repository in Dallas. So that's the reference there. It's weird. Like, this whole season's weird. I'm gonna keep saying that. It's also funny. So like, in the first one, they do Chef's Advice. His songs were of advice, which were just him singing about sex, just having Isaac Hayes sing about sex, basically.
Sure.
And then this one, they acknowledge that it's weird. Like, he sings to Kathy Lee, and like the mayor is like, what the fuck's going on? But in every other episode, when he's singing, they're singing the sexual song Lessons. They're like, they're just like, don't even acknowledge that it's a weird.
Yeah. Which is kind of what I, which is kind of what I wanted. I was like, I was actually kind of bummed out when they were like, what is he doing? I was like, oh man, that's not funny.
I agree. I agree. Especially cause I watched this one third, and in 103, they do it the right way. And then I was like, oh, why did they do it different in this one? So like the first two that I watched, there was like, oh yeah, they don't acknowledge it. They just think he's giving advice. Yeah, that's funny. Yeah, it's a weird episode. I don't love the premise of this episode.
Yeah, my like, one of my only notes is this episode is stupid.
Yeah, it's fucking stupid. Like, I think the visual, they were like kind of riding on the visual of Cartman getting fatter and fatter, and it wasn't that funny. Mm. And neither was like maybe the Kathy Lee Gifford stuff would have been funnier to me if I had any like connection to her at this time. Like when this came out, was that very funny? Was like using Kathy Lee in this way funny? Right. But I don't know. This one did very little for me. Not my fave.
Very, very little. Literally the only actual reaction I got out of this episode was at the very end when like she's in bed with Chef. I was like, oh, I got a laugh out of me.
Yeah, me too.
But after like anything before that, which is crazy because that's like literally the last shot. So like anything before that, I just kind of wasn't.
Yeah,
I wasn't really with this one.
We on the same boat there. All right, well let's move on to 103 then.
Cool. Volcano. I actually really like this one.
Volcano's not really great.
Like, but I like this one.
I like Volcano. Like Volcano is funny. Yeah. Like, and like this early version of Randy is also funny, even though he's not like the Randy you come to know. He is a funny version of Randy. This episode feels so instantly different than the first two. Like, I remember watching the first one. I watched this one second because it's out of order. And that was the first thing. I was like, this feels so different than the first episode. But I remember watching the second or the Weight Gain 4000 and be like, wow, it regressed. Like, this feels more like what it was before. But I don't know. It feels like, hold on, my dog's squeaking a toy. Do you hear that?
A little bit.
Is that going to get picked up? All right, 1 second. Let me stop that. Okay, you stopped. She stopped. This is episode I always liked, always remembered. The It's Coming Right For Us bit is funny. They're like kind of making fun of hunters. And I like the It's Coming Right For Us thing. It feels like they've got the group dynamics settled a little more in this episode than they did before. Yeah, I don't know. I think this is a funny episode. There's a lot of bits I like. Like Randy's first scene is so funny when he's just sitting at the geology department and the thing starts going off and he's just like, oh shit. He calls someone like, hey, yeah, that thing, it's shaking. It's shaking. He's like, yeah. Yeah, okay. Yeah, it's smoking. He's like, looks at the mountain. He's like, yeah, it's smoking. He's like, a volcano. And then they do the funny music sting, the like dun dun dun.
When he goes to see the mayor and he tells her and like it just fucking lingers. That shit made me laugh. I love that.
It's so great. I love Ned singing Kumbaya. I think that's very funny. That's good. And then like the premise, there's like a real premise to there's some real character stuff going on with Stan here where he's insecure about his uncle's taking him on this trip and he doesn't feel cool enough to like kill an animal or hunt. And like he sees that his uncle is like taken to Kenny and he gets insecure and jealous about it. Like there's real character stuff going on in this episode, which I really like. Did they name Randy in this or is he just there?
He says Randy Marsh.
Oh, he does say it, Randy Marsh.
He says it on the phone. Yep.
Oh, he says Marsh. Okay, so he at least says, so we do know that it's Stan's dad, even though.
Well, do we know? Do we know Stan's
last name? Well, we know he's a Marsh. We know he's a Marsh.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Do we even know that Stan is Stan Marsh? I guess I don't know. I guess we don't. Yeah, that's weird. We'll have to go back and look into that.
There's Cartman says a line that used to make me laugh a lot as a kid. He says, my mom says there's a lot of black people in Africa. That used to make me laugh a lot when I was a kid.
He says there's a lot of Cartman repeating things his mom tells him in this
scene. Yeah, man. Yeah. She was telling him some sick shit.
Yeah. It was so interesting to look at Leanne in this season, who is like a caricature of a mom in this. She's just like the sweet mom who's giving her kid everything he wants. Anything mm-hmm. he asks, she'll do for him, constantly making him food, bringing him things. And I actually really enjoyed it in juxtaposition with the most recent stuff, in which she is finally just like, I'm not doing anything for you, Eric. I'm fucking over it. Like, yeah, more.
Yeah, it is wild. That's one of the things I was thinking about, was that contrast. Just like how, especially because like with Eric, like he was manipulative. Like nowadays he's like manipulative and shit like that, right. You know what I mean? But like, he just was kind of a kid that like would ask for something, and then she would be like, she would either say yes automatically, or she'll say, oh, I don't know, and then he'll be like, come right. on, son, and then like yeah. she'll give. But is it the first one? If it's not the first one, it might actually be in Weight Gain. But there's a moment where she says, go outside and like hang out with your friends, and he says, I don't want to do that. And she says, yeah. Don't be difficult, go outside, hang out. Like she like right, flips. Right. And right. I was like, oh shit.
Yeah.
That was unusual.
What do you think about Scuzzlebutt?
Who?
Scuzzlebutt.
Oh, the fucking oh man, whatever.
The Sasquatch with a celery hand and a Patrick Duffy leg.
That's probably the part I cared about the least.
Yeah, same. I forgot about Scuzzlebutt. Although it was crazy, they like he saves the day and then Stan just kills him. It's like I think that's actually works really well as a completion to the story, with Stan like being afraid to kill something, and then he chooses to kill the exact wrong thing.
Right.
And I love afterwards where they're like, Stan, you can't kill that. And they're like, what? I thought you wanted us to kill things. And Kyle just goes, yeah, make up your mind, dude. which I thought was really funny. Which is kind of interesting commentary. Like, why are we, what are we allowed to kill? There is a weird thing in our society where it's just like, there's a lot of animals we eat, and others that if we even contemplated it, people would be like, that's fucked up, dude. It's fucked up. You know what I mean? Like, what's all, they're all animals, dude. Like is it all okay or is it not okay? What makes it cool? Yeah, it's interesting. I really like this one. I think it's really funny. The mayor is a real dumb asshole in this episode. Randy, this weird early Randy is very funny. No eyebrows. No eyebrows on Randy here. And I think I brought this up in our last pod episode, but when in the latest streaming wars, he's reminiscing about his days as a geologist. And when he's looking at his old photos, he has no eyebrows in those photos, which is very funny. Especially because I think there's only two episodes where he doesn't have eyebrows. It's this one and there's one more, but it's weird because he gets eyebrows in like the next episode. And then loses them an episode later. It's strange. Do you got any other thoughts on Volcano?
I wrote that the kids with the guns is so funny. The visual, not only just the visual of them holding the guns, but the fact that he keeps, I'll blow your fucking head off. Like they're just like going back and forth. I like that shit. That shit was funny.
They use that same visual in a more commentary focused way in like season 19 or something. It's maybe 21. They do the Dead Kids episode, the one about school shootings, and like they just have like the hall monitors have fucking AKs. Like Butter is holding an AK. In the it's really fucked up.
Butters with an AK. The visual Butters with an AK is making that's what's
when when I used to do episode by episode like reviews the night they came out when I started my channel, which I've taken down most of them. That one blew up more than almost any other one, and I think it's because my thumbnail is Butters holding a gun. That is my thumbnail. So
that's YouTube 101 right there.
Yeah, it's pretty funny. Okay, let's move on if you're ready to
Big
Gay Al's Gay Boat Ride. Actually, you know what they said? They had the title. They had the title wrong on HBO Max. It's Big Gay Al's Big Gay Boat Ride. It just said Gay Boat Ride on HBO Max.
What did I write in my? Oh yeah, see, I definitely wrote that in my ranking because I was just going off what they had written there.
Right. Well, that's the funny thing is like I read it on there and I was like, I thought it was Big Gay Al's Big Gay Boat Ride, and
you
then
looked it up.
I just looked it up right now on the Wikipedia and I was like, I was right. I was right. I really, really like this episode. This episode won the McGlad Award for
nice.
In 1997 for their commentary on gay issues, and I think this is a really interesting representation of where the culture was at the time, because like clearly this is Matt and Trey like pleading the case that like this is totally okay. Just let people live their lives. It's like, it's the way these people are going to be happy. What's wrong with that? But even at the end, society's like, what the fuck is wrong with you?
Right.
Like that is very much where things were at this time. Mm-hmm. And I think they do it in a really interesting way. Just like Stan is the parent going through like the revelation that his kid or his dog is gay and he's saying all the same shit that the parents would say at this point. We're like, well, he's just confused.
I think what was the most interesting turn, I guess, in the story was Stan like being overwhelmed with joy that he found the dog and being like, all right, I love you. We can figure this out together and make you not be gay together. And then like Big Gay Al's is like, fam, you still don't get it. Like that's not the point.
they absolutely hammer it home. And like, I don't know. I mean, it's interesting. Cause like, I mean, it's clear to me, like, I feel like some naysayers could look at this episode and be like, yeah, but at the end, everyone disagreed. And I'm like, well, yeah, but that's the point. They're saying that everyone's wrong. Like that's the point.
The episode very clearly spells out what its stance is. And like, just because all the townspeople like be like, nah, fuck out of here. That doesn't mean that that's what the episode is trying to tell you to do. That's what the episode is saying that everybody would do. You know what I mean?
Right. That's like, I remember back years ago on some internet forum, seeing someone try to argue that, I don't remember exactly what episode it was, but it was about, it was like they were trying to argue that because the show has shown a character say this, that represents Matt and Trey's stance. But I'm like, no, but you have to look at the context of the character in the story.
Yeah.
You can't just, because if you're taking everything every character says as what Matt and Trey believes, then it's all contradictory because they show characters who believe all these variety of things.
Right. Yeah,
it's just interesting. It's interesting how people are bad at consuming media. Man. I was also wondering, like, what happened? Whatever happened to Sparky? Sparky was around for a few seasons.
That's what I was thinking that too, man. What the fuck happened to Sparky? What the fuck happened to Cartman's cat?
Any animals? Yeah, it's interesting.
Oh, I will say we did get some comments clarifying that, like, apparently that dog, Khan's dog, just doesn't go anywhere in King of the Hill. I just never fucking noticed.
Yeah, he just shows up. He's just around. Right. There's just no more stories centered around him. But sometimes you see Connie or Khan walking it in the morning or something. Like there's but yeah, they never draw attention to it. But yeah, there's a lot of things that are like pretty prominent in the season. Like I remember there's a later episode in the season, I can't remember which one, where the kids are just going back to Stan's house. And they just have Sparky sitting out front, just sitting there in front of the house. Like, well, they don't do that anymore. Sparky's gone. Yeah, it's interesting. Oh, did you notice? This is something I didn't know until I watched, I believe it was the YouTuber Johnny Something, that kid who covers YouTube or covers South Park, that we've watched his stuff. I learned this from his season one video. In this season, Kyle's last name is Brozflovsky. Brozflovsky. They specifically say Kyle Brozflovsky, not Broflovsky. It's different. Yeah, it's pretty weird. Whole different name in this season. Johnny Something's good. You guys should go check out his work. Also, check out Blooms. If you're looking for good South Park YouTube content, Blooms, Johnny Something, they both make good stuff. Blooms has been making like some crazy videos that blow up. He made a video about every controversy that they've ever gotten in. And I was just like hitting myself. Like, how did I not think to make this fucking video? I know. How did I not think of this? I really enjoy this episode. Like, Big Gay Al is a great character, first of all. It's just funny that he's got this big gay farm, whatever. He's just like got this big gay farm.
Well, it's like
all,
a club.
Where all the gay animals can come be themselves.
Yeah.
It's very funny.
Dude, speaking of characters that fucking show up and disappear, because I know who they are, but where do they go? Those two homophobic kids.
Yeah, they are here. They're in this show. They're in this first couple seasons a lot. The two kids are like, oh, that's gay.
I remember them, yeah.
Yeah, you even see their parents in this season. They look the exact same and they act the same. And they show up for years in decreasing roles as time goes on. But they were like, they were like big characters. They were like big side kids for a while.
They're like Peanuts again. It's like Violet and not Violet, but like Patty and Shermie, who were like two really important characters at first. And then like Charles Schulz kind of he invented Lucy and Linus. And he was like, I kind of don't need these two anymore. And then like,
right,
just kind of fell off eventually.
Of all the kid characters that have prominent roles in this season, it's just like the main four and Wendy are pretty much the only ones who make it out.
As
like continued major roles, like, because it's really just those two kids and Pip, and anyone else, like, no one else has major speaking roles.
Honestly, if we just kind of want to talk about like characters not being who they turn out to be, Wendy's the worst one, I think.
Very different.
Yeah.
Also has a different voice actress in these early seasons, so it's especially different. But yeah, she's like. She is definitely like a little more vindictive and like manipulative in this, and like emotional.
She's just kind of like, it took me watching the season to realize like, I guess Wendy's kind of just like not a kid either. Like, And Wendy's kind of like the first one to not be a kid.
Totally.
She grows up way quicker than like Stan and them.
Totally.
And it was crazy that, so especially like, we're going to get to that episode later, but like, we're standing and falling in love with the sub.
Yes.
And like,
that's the
wild
one.
Character turns Wendy. I'm like, Wendy wouldn't give a fuck about any of this shit. Like,
I
now.
That's another good one. That might be another good video to do. Wendy's character journey. She's changed so much over the years. I might look into that. Okay, how about some of the lines that the fucking like commentators were like, the one commentator is just saying like crazy like racist
bro,
and awful
he was
shit,
bugging.
And the other one's like, dude, shut up, stop.
He was bugging, bro.
I know. Oh my god. Yeah, that guy's nuts. But man, I love that the core of this is like, well, A, it's weird that they have this football team and Chef is the coach. That's weird, first of all. I like that the rival is Middle Park. They don't do North Park or West Park or East Park. They do Middle Park. That's funny. But I love that in this episode, even though Stan is like, he's got these like fears as a parent about his gay dog. At the end, like in the end, when he's supposed to be at the game, he's like, no, I'm going to go find my dog. Like, I'm worried about my dog. Really sweet. I think it's a really nice, sweet story. And then obviously they go through that whole journey where he thinks he gets it, doesn't get it. And then at the end, I just love his sentence. I'm sorry. I tried to change you, Spark. I just didn't understand. It's like the episode really paints its picture, really well. Like, I just didn't understand. And now he does. And it's accurate the way everyone reacted at the end based on the time period. But it's a bummer. Like, it's just like, oh man, Stan went through this growth. He did the right thing. and then he was punished for it.
Right. Yeah.
But it is cool that they won a GLAAD award. They won a GLAAD award. And it also was nominated. Oh, no, maybe it was nominated. Maybe it was just nominated for a GLAAD award, and nominated for an Emmy as well. Oh, you know what? I think it was nominated for an Emmy and GLAAD for both, for the same episode, both.
Nice.
Which I think is the right choice. I would agree with that as the one I would submit. Cool. Should we move on? You got anything else about the big gay boat?
I like this is, well, this is the one where Clyde talks in Butter's voice.
Yes.
I like the recurring thing about the dog wearing the pink scarf.
Yeah.
So how the fuck do you keep getting a scarf? I love when they're watching Jesus and Pals and then it gets cut off for Marty's movie reviews and Cartman gets so excited. That was a funny thing to me. It was like, oh shit, Marty's movie reviews is on.
That is funny.
I thought that was funny. And I like them. Jimbo, Ned, and Buddy. They were singing Loving You back and forth because he was trying to tell him about the note that he's waiting for Bro to hit. I like that too. I thought that was
funny. I like that too. It was John Stamos's brother or something who's trying to hit that note. It's funny. And that is the end of part one of our South Park season one discussion. If you want to hear part two right now, 1 week early, you can actually go to our Patreon and check it out. In addition to that, we will be soon covering Matt Stone and Trey Parker's other projects on our Patreon as bonus episodes. There's also like 17 other bonus episodes. If you sign up, it's just $5 a month. You get so much extra content. Make sure to check it out. With that, I want to thank Carrie Feek for our work. I want to thank Jake Neutron for our theme song. I want to thank Michael Yunus for producing and editing the podcast. I want to thank Tunerific Tariq for co-hosting with me. I want to thank all of you. And I want to say thank you and f*** you very much.
That's right.